not losing yet. All right. Hey, man, so good to see Baby Zoe and Sister Jasmine.
Hey, man,
Baby Zoe is a nocturnal baby. She does her stuff at night to sleep all day. Sometimes we gotta get her scared to reverse itself. Amen. But nevertheless, we just thank God this evening. Amen for being good, for allowing us to see another year, another day. And amen. Just thank God that He's a keeper. How many know He's a keeper? How many know He's a way maker? How many can really say from the bottom of their hearts, if it wasn't for the Lord tonight, Lord, I don't know where I would be. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Tonight, we're going to deal with a subject. We're going to use two examples in the Old Testament and two examples in the New Testament. And the subject that we're going to deal with tonight is spiritual retardation. Amen. And not in the denotation of the dictionary meaning of retardation, but in a broader sense, the connotation of retardation in the sense of something that's being hindered or growth that is prevented. Amen. So we want to deal with that perspective. And one of the chief or main elements that the devil uses or employs against the church to try to retard us spiritually is our emotions. The main tool, now there's a whole lot that he likes to use, but one of the main tools that he likes to use to retard our growth spiritually is our emotions. Amen? And years ago I read a story about a woman that went through a traumatic situation, traumatic trial, and as a result of this traumatic situation, she was emotionally bankrupt. And because she was emotionally bankrupt, she became an invalid. Amen. Couldn't function, dependent on other people. She just never could come back to that place where she was at. So for years, she was an invalid because she was emotionally bankrupt because of a traumatic situation. Amen. And then after so many years, she was dependent on her daughter for her source of strength and help. And then all of a sudden her daughter died. And to everybody's surprise, once her daughter died, she became normal. And returned back to normal living. Because what happened in her bankrupt spiritual and mental condition, she had gone to have a dependency on her daughter. And when the daughter was gone, she was forced to be in a position where she had to stand on her own two feet. Well, tonight, a lot of us, and I'm not talking about one or two, I'm talking about a lot of us are facing some emotional challenges. And these emotional challenges are hindering us from growing in God spiritually. So tonight, like I said, we're going to deal with four spiritual men, two in the Old Testament, two in the New Testament, two key figures in the church in the New Testament, being Paul and Peter, and two very, very, very elementary saints that were in the Old Testament that were tremendously important in guiding Israel through their hard times, and that being Moses and Samuel. And we're going to show how when we don't stay in God the way we should be, we are spiritually retarded. And like I said, not in the denotation of retarded, meaning someone that's mentally challenged, but in the connotation of it. Retarded means that we are slow, and that we have not arrived at the point or stage that we should be. Paul says it this way in writing to the Corinthian church. He says that you are still babes in Christ. That's retardation. Amen. Because what happens when a person is retarded, all of their physical elements grow. But there's a progression mentally. There's a progression emotionally that's not there. So for instance, if we were to use, and this is so true even in church, if you see someone that's 26 or 30 years old, you expect them to act what age?
26
or 30. All right, now this ain't hard. All right. If you're 26 or 30, then you expect someone to act what?
26 or 30.
But if you see someone that's 26 or 30 and they're acting 5 or 6 years old, you know that then there is something that has not developed. So spiritual retardation is a spiritual development that should be there, but it's not. If you've been saved any period of time, our spiritual growth should reflect our spiritual character. And our spiritual character should reflect our spiritual growth. So if I've been saved for 5 years, at 5 years being saved, I should not have the same habits or characteristics as I was when I first got saved. So if I'm saved 5 years and I'm still back where I first got saved, that is spiritual retardation. Because I'm not progressing, I'm slow, I'm being hindered by something. And the number one two that the adversary likes to use against the church are your emotions. Amen. You say, well, how can you say that? You ever have some of those emotional days that when everything is just coming down on you because of a situation that has challenged you, and you can't get up, you can't function, you can't think, you just can't do anything. Then in the same day, that situation reverses and you become a new person. Amen? Listen, this happened to all of us. This happened to me. Thus, that's how the devil wants to hinder our walk in Christ. Challenges, emotions. Amen? Because when we are emotionally challenged, we're just like that woman. We become dependent on someone else for our strength.
That's right.
But it's time for the church to rise up and be strong. Amen. It's time for us to be what God would have us to be. So let's go to, we're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading, which will be coming from 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And we're going to deal with Samuel, who the Lord called by name when he was in the house of Eli. Amen. And when Samuel kept saying, Lord, kept going to Eli saying, surely you called me. And Eli said, I called you not. But then Eli perceived that the Lord had called Samuel. And he said, well, the next time you hear the voice, just simply say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Tonight, can we all say, speak, Lord?
Speak, Lord.
For thy servant?
For thy servant
heareth. If you can say that, then you know God is still calling. Hallelujah. Amen. So our scripture reading, we're just going to read three verses of scripture, verses 10 through 12 to start off. And then we'll go through it a little further. Verse 10, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all that night. And when Samuel rose up early to be Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is going about and passed on, and going down to kill. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 2013. Lord, we thank you for being a keeper. Lord, we thank you for being a way maker. Lord, we thank you that you didn't give up on us. Lord, the times when we were down and had no might, no mind to continue, we thank you, Lord, that you did not give up on us. Now, Lord, as we're entering 2013, we ask you to create within us a clean heart. Lord God, we renew a right spirit within us. Oh God, we ask you to give us a mind to be humble. Lord, give us a spirit of humility. Most of all, oh God, give us a contrite heart. For our desire, Lord, is to be pleasing in thy sight. Now, Lord God, on this evening, the first week of 2013, we ask you, oh God, to create with us a zeal. Lord, clothe us with the cloak of zealousness. Lord, create a fire down in us. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, don't give us a mind to look back, but a mind to press forward, looking unto you who's the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, on this evening, we simply ask you to speak for thy servant here. Now can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Once again, the number one two Now, there's a whole lot of devices that the devil uses against us. But when your emotions are down, I don't care who you are, it's hard to function. It's hard to keep the focus. It's hard to keep your mind on the main thing. Remember Pastor LaFay said, keep the main thing the what?
Main thing.
Well, when you are spiritually challenged emotionally, it's hard to keep the focus. Amen? So this is Samuel after he had anointed Saul to be king. Amen. And God gave Saul a direct commandment. And the commandment was go to the Amalekites to destroy everything. He said, don't bring back anything. Destroy it all, because he remembered what the Amalekites did to Israel when they came out of Egypt, how they attacked the weakest in the rear and was destroying them. So God had already purposed in his time that he was going to give retribution for the evil that they had done to his people, especially those that were weak and infirm that they attacked that went back. So when God gave Saul the commandment, he expected Saul to be obedient. Now Saul was disobedient, and that brings us up to here. Let's go back to verse 10. It said, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel. Now who spoke to Samuel? God. Amen. God spoke to Samuel because he saw and he knew that there was an iniquity. There was a fault down in Samuel, Saul, that he could no longer be productive for God. So God talks to Samuel. Amen. Next verse reads, God told Samuel, he repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me. So God is speaking to Samuel. He said, Saul no longer is following me. Amen. Saul used to be in the beginning when he was small in his own sight. Before he became elevated and lifted up, Saul followed me. But God, he tells Samuel, nay, he repented me. He said, I have not performed my commandment. So how do we know that he's turned back from following God? Because he what? Did not follow his commandment. The minute, brothers and sisters, that any of us stop following the word of God, we are doing what? Turning back. So the reason that God was able to say that Saul had turned back because he was no longer keeping his commandments. Amen? So now let's find out what happened with Samuel. It said, and they grieved Samuel, and Samuel cried unto the Lord all night. So we find that at this stage in Samuel's life, he is now on an emotional low. Is he a man of God? Yes. Did God speak directly to Samuel? Yes. If we read about it in chapter 1 and 2, and I believe it's 3, he said, chapter 2 said, and the Lord appeared. That's a mighty thing. The Lord appeared unto Samuel. Amen. Concerning prophets, he was one of the greatest prophets in Israel. And he came in Israel when a time when Israel was in spiritual decadence. They were in a spiritual decline. Amen. And God elevated Samuel because he said concerning Samuel, after he had rejected Eli and Hophni and Phinehas, he said, this is a man that will rule after my own heart. He said concerning Samuel, Samuel esteems me highly, so I'm going to elevate him. Amen. You want to go up in God? Just esteem him. How much you want to esteem him? Esteem him above everything else and everybody else. Even your emotions. Amen? So Samuel cries. Now let's get down to verse 17. Let's find out Samuel. Now God is speaking to Samuel. And God is letting Samuel know that Saul no longer is following me. Saul has become disobedient. Saul is not keeping the commandments of God. Verse 17. And Samuel says to Saul, when thou was little, it's important, saints, stay small. Amen. You know, I forget which one of the bishops it was when we were in Georgia. He preached, he told the bishop that was over him. He said, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. What happens if I get in this position and fail? the bishop said, the man of God told him, just stay small in your own sight, you'll be all right. Tonight, we all need to stay small. Amen. As long as we stay small in our sight, then the Lord will lift us up. Because the scripture said, if we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then he will exalt us when? In his own time. Don't rush. Don't push God. But this is Samuel was small in our own sight. Was thou not made head of the tribe of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not
obey the voice of the Lord?
Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in
thy
sight? Hallelujah. Don't do wrong in God's sight. He sees it all. Next verse. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Now God is telling them you did wrong. Amen. He's telling them, he said, you have not obeyed my voice. But when you get too big in yourself, even if God were to speak to you face to face, you can't see your own. Amen. And he had gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Now, you say this seems to be a small thing, right? But what was God's commandment to Saul? To destroy what?
All.
He said, don't bring back anything. Amen. Next verse. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? So godly man Samuel is letting Saul know, you disobeyed the voice of the Lord. God has no pleasure in that. He's dealing with him from the mind of God concerning his wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Behold, to obey is
better than sacrifice.
If you don't remember anything else, always obey God. Amen. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of
witchcraft.
Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has
also
rejected thee from being king. So Samuel is saying, you rejected God. God has rejected you. Amen. So Samuel understands the spiritual condition that Saul is in. But he still is going to allow his emotions to cause him to go wrong. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord. And remember, not too long ago, we went over, there's a difference between godly sorrow and the sorrow of this world. Godly sorrow is, I'm just plain wrong. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to pretty it up. I've sinned. The sorrow of this world says, well, I would have done it, but it was this, but it was that. They make excuses because they are caught. There's a huge difference between confessing your wrong as in the sight of God and confessing your wrong because of what you may lose. Amen. If you confess your wrong because of what you may lose, there's nothing more than an obligation. But when you're committed to God, you don't try to cover anything. He said, because I fear the people and obey their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said, Saul said unto Saul, I will not return with thee. He said, no, Saul, you're wrong. I will not return with you. So this is what he's saying now. Amen. And the Lord has rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, The Lord has rent the kingdom out of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. He's already said, listen, you're wrong. First of all, when you that disobedience is like the sin, rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and they wouldn't even suffer a witch to live. Amen? They kill witches. And if you read a little further about Saul, you'll find when he went to the witch of Engadah, but that's not important. What we're dealing with is a spirit that was in Saul. Amen. And it's something when you're dealing with a spirit, if you don't stay in God and stay in discernment, and you get a little weak, that spirit can start to influence you emotionally. Amen? And also the strength of Israel, nor repent. For he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned. Now, you know, now Samuel already told Saul, he said, I'm not going to go worship with you. Amen? Isn't that what he said? We just read it earlier. That is still the same discourse, the same conversation, the same situation that Samuel is dealing with. He said, I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again that I may worship the Lord with thy God, Lord thy God, sorry. So Samuel, hold on. Isn't this the same one that said God has rejected you? Had he earlier said, I cannot go, but he now is allowing his emotions. He has spoken directly to Samuel from God. Referred directly to Saul from God, saying, I will not go. He said, when he read this mantle, he said, God has rented the kingdom away from you and given it to a neighbor of yours is better. He said, well, come worship. And Saul, Samuel said, no, Saul, I will not worship. What happened? What came over Samuel, the man of God that was God's mouthpiece, that now he turned again with Saul and worshiped? The emotions. When we get out of God and we allow our emotions to start governing us or driving us, we would go contrary to God. Listen, this isn't the next day. Isn't it 24 hours later? Isn't it 12 hours later? It's in the same time frame that he's speaking from God. Now he's acting contrary to God. So he turns and worships. Amen. Then again, Samuel said, bring me Agag. Skip down to verse 34. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to give ear of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, the emotions. Now, God had already said he's going to put someone in their bed in office. Amen. He had already told Samuel that I rejected Saul. Saul has disobeyed. So he said, first of all, he's turned from following me. God never changed that edict. He never changed that order. They said that no, Saul has now returned back to me. He said, Saul has stopped following me. He has turned his back on me. I have rejected him. But the emotions. The emotion now, Samuel is mourning for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Two diverse differences. God is rejecting Saul. Samuel is mourning, holding on to Saul. Now go to 16 verse 1. A godly man, but now he's entrapped in his own emotions. God has already given him order, had given him command. Amen. Verse 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, this is the man of God. God got tired of him mourning, of being emotionally involved with someone he had rejected. emotional involvement. And God has said, no, will cause you to be spiritually retarded. It will hinder you. It will hinder your progress, your progression. You will be slow. Amen. You will be 30, but you act like you're 10. Why? Because of this hindrance. So how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? He said, Samuel, you're not even doing the job that you're supposed to be doing for me spiritually because you're emotionally involved. You're mourning. He said, what I want you to do, he said, do what I want you to do. Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. But what did God rebuke Samuel for? What? Emotionally being tied up, interwoven with Saul's situation. Amen. So he said, it's time for you to get up and go. Now go to go to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. That's Samuel, a godly man. God spoke directly to Samuel. Amen. God elevated Samuel to the office of high priest to take Eli's place because of the right spirit. But even Samuel allowed his emotions to get to the point that he was mourning for someone that God had rejected, and God had to correct him to his face. He said, how long? How long are you going to stay spiritually handicapped by this situation? Samuel, how long are you going to stay down? He said, it's time for you to perform your duty to operate in the office that I've called you to do. So he said, it's time for you to get up. Verse 10 of chapter 14. That's Samuel. Now we're going to deal with Moses. And we know Moses has some challenges. Dealing with some stubborn and what he called them, stiff-necked people that refused to do what God wanted them to do. Every time God would bless them, they would find a problem in the midst of the blessing. Do we know anybody like that? Every time God is blessed, they got to find something to point fingers and fall at. Amen. Well, that's what happened with Israel. Verse 10 reads, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptian marched after them. And they were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So they cried unto the Lord, and they're crying before Moses. Amen. Next verse. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? And when you go back and read the story now, they were under such severe bondage. Amen. And they cried. And God told Moses, he said, I've heard the cry of my people. That's how severe the situation was. But when you get emotionally challenged, you want to go back to the same thing that God has delivered you from. Amen. Instead of seeing the blessing and God delivering them, they want you to go back. The Bible just called it regular bondage. He called it cruel bondage. Their bondage was so severe that they were even practicing infanticide. That's it. I believe infanticide. That's right. Infanticide. Killing their firstborn. You mean you want to go back to that situation? Emotional bankruptcy will drive you to go contrary to God. The next verse reads, is not this a word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, these people, when they emotionally challenged, you know, they don't want nobody to help them. Just leave me alone. You should have left me where I was at. You were dying in your sin. You were on your way to hell, and you wanted us to leave you there? So you should have left us under that cruel, hard bondage. That we were the taskmasters. We were being whipped. Our children were being killed. So you should have left us there. That's what happens when we are emotionally challenged. Amen? You say, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Who told them they were going to die? They were emotionally challenged. And it's an emotional challenge. They were now spiritually handicapped or retarded. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again. So now, the man of God, he's making a stand for God. He said, listen, just stand still. These Egyptians, we're not going to see them anymore. Amen? He's speaking in the affirmative for God. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your
peace.
He said, you don't have to worry about anything. God's going to do all the fighting. You don't have to fight. Next verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, what did he say unto Moses? Hold on. Moses, you allowed yourself to be emotionally challenged. That you're crying unto me because of the people? You just said I was going to set them free. You just told them to be still and see the salvation of God. You just said I was going to fight for them. He said, Moses, what are you doing? Crying unto me. The trial has got to you to that point, Moses, that you are emotionally challenged, that you are now hindered, you're not progressing, you're standing still, you're not going anywhere because you're crying unto me. That's what emotional bankruptcy will do. You can be as godly as you want to be, but when you don't keep your emotions in check, it will cause you to go contrary to God. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, and that it's time for you to get up from there and do what?
Go forth.
Go forth. Amen. You stop there for that verse. So our emotional challenges will hinder us spiritually. Amen. And the thing is, we can all look at ourselves and say, Lord, what happened? How did I get to this place? What did I do? How did I allow my emotions to get tired of something that's taking more control of me than God? Samuel did, and Moses. Two of the mighty spiritual leaders in Israel allowed their emotions to spiritually hinder them, to spiritually bankrupt them, or to cause them to have spiritual retardation, or they were handicapped. And once again, it's a lack of progress. Amen. We read about it in Luke, and also Jesus talks about it becoming unfruitful. Amen. We're not productive in Christ. Well, why aren't you what you used to be? Why aren't you trying to grow in God? Oh, you just don't know. That's the truth. The devil wants you to believe instead of believing God. Tonight is time to believe God. Amen. Now let's go to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, and we will show you how the adversary, verse 8, will try to use our emotions to hinder us from going forward in God. Can you imagine Moses, when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who appeared? One of the main figures was Moses. All throughout the New Testament, the individual that the children of Israel focused on concerning the law was Moses. It doesn't matter how high you get in God, you have to still keep your emotions in check. And thank God we allow our emotions to get out of check. God will say, stop crying. It's time for you to get up and go forward. How many can say it's time to get up and go forward? Hallelujah. Don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay down. You don't have to stay handicapped. You don't have to stay under that bondage and hardship. Just believe God and go forward. But as long as you allow your emotions to overwhelm you, you will go nowhere. Amen. You do not progress. You do not grow. 21 verse 8. This is concerning. I said, well, that's the two figures in the Old Testament. Then we're going to go to two in the what?
New Testament.
In the New Testament. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did. And you know, this is not part of the text, but You know, God doesn't just put stuff in the Bible just randomly, for no reason. All right? He had four daughters that were virgins. Shouldn't that be good enough? But then he asked, they did what? So that means they did what? Preach, right? That's what prophecy is, preaching, right? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So God doesn't put stuff in there randomly. So how do people, this is access to the history of the what?
Church.
So how did they start off when we could preach? But all of a sudden today, they can't preach. That's not in the text. I'm just saying. God didn't put random stuff in the Bible. All he had to do was say, and he had four daughters, which were virgins, and went on to the next part. But it made sure that he showed their spiritual heritage. They did
prophesy.
Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, he said, blessed are they to hear the words of this prophecy and keep them. So God said, blessed are they to hear the words of this prophecy, and the four daughters that prophesied. So they had to be preachers. Amen. So, you know, just write this down. Acts 21, 9. Four women didn't prophesy, which means they preached. So if they preached back then, then somebody said, Jesus Christ is the what?
Yesterday, today, forever.
So he has not changed. If he inspired Luke to put this in there, it had to be for a reason. Maybe it was not for that day, but for this today when everybody is trying to take care of God's business.
Right.
Amen? Mm-hmm. That wasn't in the text, but I figured we might have hit on it, right? Just to let you know, women can't preach. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle. Hold on, you skipped the verse. Go back one. Skips on. And we tarried there many days, and there came down from Judea a certain prophet named
Agabus.
And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hand and feet, and said, thus said the Holy Ghost. So what is he doing? He's prophesying.
Yes, sir.
Right? So this is how God does. He showed that Philip's four daughters prophesied, and he bringing Agabus the prophet, he's prophesying. So it's all right for the men to preach, right? But not the women.
Yeah.
Hello?
Right.
So I just let the words say what the words say.
Yes,
now everybody can all have all their own personal theologies. That don't make it right.
Right.
If it's in the book, it has to be right.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, get off of that. I think the Lord say so. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the
Gentiles.
And when we had heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, said, what mean ye to weep? You all are trying to get a hold of emotion. I know what God has called me to do. Don't weep and break my heart. Don't allow my emotions to cause me to go contrary to what God wants me to do. Our emotions, when they get the best of us, most of the time will lead us away from God. Our emotions will cause us to say things that aren't in God. Our emotion will cause us to act in ways that's not in God. So Paul said, what mean ye to weaken and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord. Paul made a stand. He would not allow them to get to his emotions. And when he would not be persuaded, we see saying, so we're dealing with the emotions, and we're dealing with what? The will of the Lord being done. If he had listened to the emotions, he would not have done what? The will of the Lord. If he had allowed them to back him into an emotional corner, if he had allowed them to weep and break his heart, he would not have been doing what?
The will of the Lord.
But when they realized that he could cannot be
persuaded.
Amen. When they realized that Paul was standing in God, they realized he couldn't change it. They couldn't break it down. So they said, the will of the Lord be done. The devil tries to use our emotions. He tries to cause that inner problem, the inner strife, to hinder us from doing the will of God. So when they saw that they couldn't no longer, he couldn't persuade them, they said, you know what, we got to stop fighting against God. So they concluded that the what? Will the Lord be done. Our emotions challenge. Our emotions contend with. Our emotions will battle the will of the Lord. Amen? And then you'll find yourself in positions where you're up one minute and you're down the next. You got joy one minute and you have no joy the next. Well, what's the problem? The emotions. The devil knows that's a tool that he can use. Not just in the church, but people that are in the world, to get them to lose their minds, emotions. Your emotions play a big part. I know I had some relatives years ago that my grandmother, who's my mother's father, died. My grandmother, who's my father's mother, died suddenly. And as a result of her dying, almost all of the siblings became alcoholics because they could not handle that unexpected sudden death. Matter of fact, I was so young, she died in the north. But as a result, they became alcoholics, many of them, because they couldn't deal with the emotional challenge. When we have traumatic situations, if we don't stay in God, and we allow our emotions to start dictating, then we will make decisions based on our heart and not our minds. We will make decisions to do things not because it's right, but because we are emotionally challenged. And in our emotional challenge, we cannot see the will of God. The will of God becomes abstract. You know when something is abstract, you can't really make out what it is. It's not clear. Amen. Our emotions will cause God's will to become abstract to the point that we don't know what to do. But when we know God and we know His will, and we keep our emotions in check. Yes, we're all going to have some emotional challenges. Amen. As many as going to live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer some challenges. Many are the afflictions of the... See, when you're living right, you got to expect trouble. But when you stay in God, when you keep your emotions in check, then the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Emotion, stay in God. Amen. Don't allow your emotion to be tied up in another individual, because you'll become a puppet on their strength. Whatever they say or do is what you do. And most of the time that do is going to take you away from the will of God. Paul refused. Amen. As a man of God, he refused to allow anything to take him contrary to God's will. Well, in the church, godly. Now, you say, well, Paul, you would think they wouldn't have messed with Paul, right? If you believe in chapter 20, he said, but none of these things move me. This was another time he's trying to stop him from doing what God wanted him to do from their emotions. Said, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life. The biggest challenge to the church and individuals is our lives in the way. We went over to Sunday and said, if we don't hate mother, father, sister, brother, and everything else, including our own lives, we cannot be his disciples. Too much emotions. Oh, you just don't know what I'm going through. Get out the way. Get out the way. Let God do what he's going to do. Emotions. Bankrupt. Can't smile. Don't have joy. Everything gets on your nerve. Can't get around people. Even in the unsaved world, they say, man, if that's what salvation is, I just stay unsaved. Because those are some of the most miserable people I ever seen. How can you be saved and don't have no spark, no joy, when the Bible says the joy of the Lord? Hello? And you can't smile, you don't have no joy, you don't know what you're going through. Does God know what you're going through? Well, you don't believe God because God said God is faithful. And he will never put more on you than you're able to bear. So you're saying that your situation is too big for God. And that God is not faithful. That's how we act when we get emotionally challenged. We start doubting God and his word. Amen. We start wrestling with God. We start trying to hinder God. Amen. Your emotions, as we said with Paul, will cause you to go against the will of God. Come to Matthew chapter 16 in closing. Keep your emotions in check. 2013, you're going to have emotions because we're human. Amen. Like I said, well, Jesus wept. Yeah, Jesus did wept because he's human, but it wasn't like they thought it was. Amen. He was weeping because of their unbelief. You know, when you read the story, it's, oh, Jesus just felt so bad that Lazarus died. He already said he's going to live again. So why would he cry when somebody's going to live again? Hello? Right? So emotions. People like to use emotions for excuses. God knows everything we're going through tonight. But we thank God for his faithfulness and the blessing of knowing that he will never, ever put more on us than we're able to bear. So get out of that doctrine. Amen. Get out of that spiritual law. Amen. It's time to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who will be his redeemed? Hallelujah. Get your shout back. Get your praise back. Amen. It's time to dance on the devil's head. Hallelujah. I think it was Acts chapter 26 and 28, talking about we'll stomp Satan under our foot. Amen. Somebody, we need some shouts, some dances. Put them under your foot. Amen. Because we got too many of us running. Got too many of us in the corner, afraid to come out and make a stand for God. Matthew 16, verse 13. In closing, let's get to David. Amen. So when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that are John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, for whom say ye that I am? See, listen, when you see I am, he's telling them something. He said, who I is. He said, who I am. And he told Moses back in Exodus, I am that I am. So he said, who do they say that I am? Hallelujah. He wasn't just talking about as a son, but he was talking about as a deity. He was talking about as God himself. And Simon Peter is, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So he gives him this great honor. He said, blessed are you, you men of God, because you did not realize this because of your own abilities. You do not realize that because of your own intellect. But this is a revelation from my Father. So he's restored this honor, this glory on him of being in a place to receive a revelation from God. Amen? So Peter now on the high, he's on the high. Amen. I can imagine he looked at the other apostles and said, yeah, do y'all know who I am? I'm Simon Bar-Jonah. I'm blessed of the Lord. Peter's feeling pretty good right about now. Amen. All right. Next verse. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not. There's a lot in that, but we're not here for some theology and a whole lot of stuff. rock wasn't Peter that he's going to build his church on.
Right.
Because the stone that the builders rejected
is Jesus.
Yes.
Nevertheless, let's keep going. And I will give unto thee the keys of the... You got a revelation. Hey, you heard, you got it directly from my Father. Amen. So then all of these apostles, all of these disciples, you're going to have a special calling, a special anointing placed on your life. Above everybody else, there will not be another individual that God personally gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven but Peter. Peter was in a special position. Amen. He had a special calling. He said, and not only am I going to give you the keys, you know, whatsoever thou bind on earth. Who is this? Peter. Man, this is special. This is somebody. This is something. There's not a lot of other people you read about like this of the other apostles, but Peter. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be. I can see Peter smile. He said, man, I gotta have some power. Hey, man, I'm gonna have some influence from God. That's a real power. If I bind it on earth, you're going to bind it in heaven. If I loose it on earth, it's going to be loose in heaven. Amen. I just arrived spiritually. Amen. Next verse. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto and suffer many things of the and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So now Jesus is waiting to call. He's having one of those, Paul's having one of those Jesus experiences, I guess. Right? Paul said, okay, I'm going if I have to die. Jesus said, I'm going to Jerusalem and I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to suffer a whole lot of things. I'm going to go through some hardship. He said, but for this cause was I born, for this purpose came I into the world. So he knew his calling, he knew his purpose. Amen. And he was not going to be deterred by anyone. The next verse. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. Wait a minute, Peter, you can't stop God's will. You can't prevent the will of the Lord from being done just because you just got all in your emotions. Your emotion is trying to stop the very plan of salvation that God chose before the foundation of the world. You spiritual one that has the keys to the kingdom. You spiritual one that received the revelation for who I am. Now you're in your flesh. Now you are allowing your emotions to stop the very reason that I came to this earth. You're trying to hinder me from doing the will of God. Amen. Next verse. Then he turned and said unto
Peter.
Did Peter, I mean, you know, listen, I know we like to rationalize, right? We like to look at everything from an intellectual viewpoint. Did Peter say anything wrong? If you look at it intellectually, he didn't say anything wrong. He just said, want the Lord to what? Suffer. But the real issue was Peter was trying to hinder the will of God. That was a real issue. It wasn't the intellect. It wasn't how much he loved Jesus. It wasn't how much he felt for Jesus. He was trying to hinder the will of God. So the Lord turns to Peter. But who does he speak to? Because of the emotions. The Lord said, no, Satan, you're not going to use him to hinder me from my purpose and my calling. So he doesn't turn around and rebuke Peter. He rebukes Peter, but he speaks to who? Satan. He said, thou art your confess unto me. Well, what's the offense? What's the problem? What's the issue? For thou what? Savest not the things to be of God. Emotions. Amen. who calls us not to savor the things that be of God, but the things that be of
man.
That's when we know the devil has his way and wants us. Emotionally, we miss the mark. Emotionally, we're challenged. Emotionally, we are spiritually handicapped. Amen? Like I said, we can all make an evaluation. If you see a 30-year-old and they are walking around acting like they're 5 or 6, you'll be able to look and say there's something wrong.
Yes.
So in the church, our spiritual progress should be noticeable. We should be making progress and not digressing. The problem with Saul, he said, Saul has turned away from following me. Now if you're following God and you turn, you're going what? The opposite direction. Well, can you be in the will of God going the wrong way? The children of Israel tried to get Moses to do what? Turn and go back. The brethren tried to get Paul to turn and go back and not pursue God's will. Then Peter, as well-meaning as he thought, tried to get the Lord to turn and not do God's will. That's what your emotions would do. And if such a slide comes out of the way, you won't even recognize it. You'll say, I'm just being human. Amen. But the Bible talks about putting to mortify the deeds of the flesh. There are some things in our body, we need to kill them. Because if we don't kill them, they will spiritually hinder us. When something is hindered, doesn't mean you're not going to get there. But you're going a roundabout way. You're doing a straight line. The quickest way between two points is what, my bad students? Is a what?
Straight line.
Straight line. Come on, y'all supposed to scream that out, straight line. Amen. To get from here to glory, we don't need to go on a whole lot of roundabout ways. Let's go straight. Refuse to allow your emotions. You know, it's harder. I know women, y'all are more emotional than men. Even though things are changing a little bit today. Seriously, things are changing, but you know, nevertheless. Amen. Some of the stuff men do today, when I was 5 years old, I would got beat for a whole year. But, you know, things have changed today, so. My father told us, you know, not to digress a little, but when the Applejacks and all the hair came out, man, we got my Applejacks tapping the hair out. My father said, if you don't cut that mess by tonight, I'll cut it. It's like, wow, everybody's doing this. He said, yeah, but I won't have no sissies in my house. Guess what? Let's cut by tonight. You know why? Because men back then made a stand. All this soft, cully. I mean, it's all right for your wife at home, but all this other stuff got to cease. Come on, you got to stand up there. Man, good God. Men crying before women. He goes, away, the woman consoles the man. What's wrong? Right? We lost some of our identity. Some stuff got messed up. Hey man, let's stand. I'm not gonna get nosy. I'm gonna get nosy and pride here as we should go. Let's keep our emotions in check. Males and females, like I said, it's a lot more challenging for females because that's how you all created different. We have different hormones. That's why you know, watch the vaccination things might be slipped. But we got different hormones, so women react differently than men, but that's still no excuse. Because God is greater than anything in our lives. God exceeds all of our challenges. Keep your emotions in check. If you don't keep your emotions in check, you will be on an emotional roller coaster. You'll be up, you'll be down. Amen. They'll see you one day and say, hey, that looked like such and such. And they'll see you the next day and say, that looked like that was them. That would be you. But you'll be so disfigured and so broken down that they won't know who you are. Amen. Because you're so worn because of your emotions. They said when a person is emotionally bankrupt, you can age overnight. Overnight, people won't even be able to recognize who you are, but not in Christ. Can we purpose in 2013 that we're going to keep our emotions in check? Because if you don't keep your emotions in check, you can be assured that you're going to go contrary to the will of God. Tonight is all about pleasing Him. And in pleasing God, I have to put my own self to silence. Amen. I must forsake all to be the Lord's disciples as the ministers come forward. Hallelujah.